community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Indeed it is. Wednesday the 6th of November, it's 11 minutes past one. It's Mike 4123 today, and my guest this morning is on the front page of the Brentwood Gazette, and he's on the front page of the Gazette because he has sent an email out to, it went to his leader from Brentwood First, William Lloyd, but it also went to two members of the planning, and I quote, "the prospect of sharing such time and space with Conservative members of the panel," and he's talking about planning committee, "is akin to a day trip with Fred West and Ian Brady, and thus I will make my own arrangements," I think. Right, that's the context that the paper have got. I'm sure there's more to it. My guest is Russell Quirk. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning. Good afternoon, in fact.
Good afternoon. Yeah, of course.
How are you?
I'm fine. Russell, how did this come about in the first place? What's the story behind the email? Why have you said this?
Yeah, I said it in an email, indeed, as you've alluded to, as the paper does. And it was actually it was a private email between myself and three members of the Brentwood First group. And, you know, it was inadvertently seemingly copied to two Conservative members, which was not the intention. It was a, without putting too fine a point on it, it was a banter attempt. It was a joke. It was designed as a tongue-in-cheek response to an email that I'd had about planning visits. And so, you know, that's the reality of it. And the background to this, of course, is that, you know, there are lots and lots of councillors that are very disgruntled at the moment. Not least, actually, when I replied inadvertently to this email, as I did on Thursday, it was only a day or two after we'd had the whole Karen Chilvers thing, whereby you'd had, you know, all these big-hitting Conservative councillors, which obviously at the moment outnumber the opposition, standing up and absolutely slaughtering Karen Chilvers in the council chamber, in front of public press and the webcam, you know, shouting out that she was incompetent and she was an embarrassment and really going to town in a very personal fashion. So, you know, the context is that, you know, and I stand by the premise of this, actually, that, you know, the Conservatives, not to a man and a woman, but generally, are not people that at the moment I would like to share time and space with. And that was the context of the email.
Okay. Just going back to the Karen Chilvers episode. We spoke at length last week on this programme. Karen was in, of course, and we spoke about that and dealt with it, I think. Just going back, are you saying then you had no intention that this was a private email that was sent maybe as a further joke to somebody else?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And you know, I only knew yesterday that it had actually been inadvertently copied to Anko and Linda Golding, who were the two mm-hmm. Conservative recipients. And as soon as I realised that was the case, and obviously I realised that they were going to be offended, I'd had an email copied to me by William Lloyd that Louise McKinley had sent. You know, I have to say, you know, being politically opportunistic, as I suppose she's got every right to be, you know, very, very dramatic, you know, and, you know, what a big crisis this is and so on, which, you know, distasteful as this is, and, you know, I put my hands up to the inappropriate nature of this, and, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't need to be further dramatized, and it certainly doesn't need to be made, you know, some huge political football. But as soon as I was aware, I emailed both Anko and Linda Golding directly to apologize unreservedly. And by coincidence, last night we had a planning meeting, and of course, because Anko and Linda Golding are the chair and the vice chair respectively, I took the first opportunity, and this, I've got to say, it's very unlike me really, but I absolutely accept that what they were copied into in the context that they thought it was aimed at them, which it wasn't, was inappropriate, you know. And so I've absolutely humbly and unreservedly apologised. You know, make no bones about it, Mike.
Okay, well, you've just answered my question, because I said one of my questions: would you apologise if asked?
Yeah, already have.
You've already done it then.
Yeah, so before the paper came out, you know, this was regardless of any
gazette. Absolutely. So this was not done for sensationalism. This is
God,
not,
no.
You know, no, this is not trying to score points of anybody.
No, Mike, can I say, not on my part, but of course, you know, this email went out, as I say, inadvertently on Thursday afternoon, I think it was. I had no idea it had gone to people that would obviously therefore be offended by what they thought was the context of it. You know, it was designed as, bearing in mind, myself, Nigel Clark, Phil Baker, William Lloyd, we're best mates. You know, it was banter, you know, internally between us. It wasn't on Twitter, you know, it wasn't in the council chamber, it wasn't a press release. But what then happened was, unfortunately, instead of the Conservatives explaining that obviously they'd seen the email and they were offended by it, to give us the opportunity to explain and apologise there and then, there was no word from them whatsoever. What they did is went straight to the Gazette with a press release, which I think is unfortunate. Because, you know, what then it makes this is rather than it being what it is, you know, which was an inadvertent, inappropriate comment made between friends, it then becomes a big political football and ends up on the front page. And, you know, fair play to the Conservatives, good luck. You know, would I have done the same? Maybe I would. But they didn't even give me the opportunity to know that it had happened and indeed to apologise, you know, in the first instance, notwithstanding that I did yesterday.
OK, going back to the Karen Chilvers thing again, the behaviour for anybody who watched that webcast, and this is what we discussed last week, everybody behaved badly. And and anybody who is a council taxpayer in the area would go, hang on a minute, why are we paying for any of these people for the behaviour that happened? I mean, what happened to Karen, in my opinion, was appalling.
And
you stood up and spoke strongly. Jan Pound stood up and spoke
strongly. Yeah, Mike, can I be clear? I stood up very strongly to support Karen.
Yes, Jules, I know. I know
because
in
the face of her being bullied relentlessly by half a dozen Conservatives.
An outsider would say, why has this happened? How has it come to this? And how? And more importantly, how are you going to draw a line over this? Because you can't keep... you expect Cameron and Clegg and all the others to be fighting all the time, but it's now getting personal, and it's got to stop.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it does get personal. But look, you know, whether I'm right or wrong on this, I have a very specific view on the way this is playing out, which is that it is very... easy and indeed convenient for the media, which is you lot, and the Gazette and the Weekly News and so on, to pick up on the juicy bits because it sells papers.
But absolutely, we love it.
Of course, and you rang me 2 hours ago and said, Russ, please come on the show. I said, of course I will. I'll explain myself. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that, A, the media are picking up on the juicy bits and not the 99% of the rest of the stuff that we do as members, you know, like sitting there as we did till 10:45 last night, deliberating over 4 very, very important planning matters, where actually, you know, there wasn't any rough and tumble at all. But of course, that won't get reported on. But actually, you know, forgive me for saying this. To me, this is about passion. This is actually about giving a damn, you know. And I really, really do give a damn about Brentwood and its residents.
Nobody could ever accuse you not, Russell.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that comes across sometimes as, you know, furor, passion, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes it becomes inappropriate. And actually, the likes of, you know, Keith Parker, who is probably the most outspoken councillor in the chamber in terms of throwing insults around him. And he called Karen Chilvers a wicked witch. You know, he's called Mike Le Cerf in the last few days a name that begins with P and ends in CK. That's all I'll say across the council chamber. But in his defence and mine, although to the outside, if that's the only bit that's reported, it can look bad. A, look at the context, which is all the other stuff that we do behind the scenes. But don't you think, just, you know, give us all a little bit of credit here. The councillors that stand up and are... you know, shouting and screaming, and to a degree, I suppose you can say, yeah, there's some personal stuff being thrown about. We're human beings, you know, we're not robots. And actually, if you're passionate about your town, sometimes it goes too far. And sometimes, you know, we get over enthusiastic. So, you know, I'm not defending what I've done here in terms of the inappropriate wording that I've used in a joke that's gone wrong. You know, and I'm putting my hands up to that, I really am. But you know, don't try and sanitise councillors too much, because then what you end up with is some councillors that never stand up, never speak, never do anything.
Exactly. And I will give you know, before it was Russell Quirk, Brentwood first, it was Russell as a member of the Tory party, and I knew of you then because you are outspoken.
Because I'm gobby. I do the job.
And there are councillors in Brentwood Council and the councillors in Thurrock and Havering Council exactly the same.
Yeah. But to most honest, never speak, Mike. Most be, you honest, never hear of.
I couldn't name half of Brentwood Council without looking it up, you know, because as you say, they don't speak. And that is a healthy debate, and it should be, by the way, I think as well. So how are we going to draw a line, do you think, about the personal side? Is it going to stop? On this instance, can we... Obviously, you've got your passion. Obviously, you're going to have a strong, wordy debate. But at this very moment in time, with Karen's business last week, this today, you've apologised fully, as far as I'm concerned. So can we draw a line on it and carry on with council business now properly?
I'd bounce that back to you, and I'd bounce it back to Neville Wilson at the Gazette and George Thorpe at the Weekly News. You know, let us get on with it. Stop, you know, picking on the juicy bits.
Yeah.
And yes, there's going to be some overflow here because we're all... And I think we're particularly passionate because... you know, as an opposition member now, there are lots of things that the Conservatives are doing very badly indeed. There are lots of bad decisions, and because of that, they're changing the constitution to stop members talking, they're gagging us, you know, they're doing a lot of stuff in what they call pink session now. So, for instance, tonight we've got a meeting where, yet again, we're talking about a public asset, which is the Hutton Community Centre, which the Conservatives insist should be done in private. They've done that with the Town Hall, they've done it with William Hunter Way, they've done it with Old House. So, basically, you as members of the public, that pay your council tax, you're not allowed to know what's going on. So the passion comes from things like that. And for, you know, granting the managing director a 27% pay increase when the rest of the council staff are on a pay freeze, you know, trying to sell off the town hall, etc. So, you know, that passion I don't think should ever go away. And if it does, Brentwood's got a problem, because actually all that will happen is that all this stuff will just go through and you won't get the enthusiasm that unfortunately also goes with furor. So, I mean, to answer the question, yes, I hope that things can become more tasteful, if you like, but, you know, it's a very fine balance here between people that give a damn and, you know, how sometimes that is then portrayed, if you like, on the front page of the Gazette, the Weekly News, the Yellow Advertiser, the Inquirer, and indeed on the show. So, you know, it's I don't think we should be too dramatic about the fact that,
okay,
do you know what, Roger Hurst and I don't like him. I don't mind admitting it. He doesn't like me. So what? Doesn't matter to you. Doesn't matter to Mrs. Yeah. Smith down Woodland Avenue. Who cares? We don't get on. We don't agree. But that shouldn't get in the way of the fact that we're all trying to do the right thing here. But across the chamber, sometimes we're opposed. That's how it is.
Okay. All right. What's in your postbag then at the moment?
The William Hunter Way thing, yet again. I think that's been in everyone's postbag for, what, 7-8 years now. The long stop date comes to fruition on December the 6th, so we're not that far away from that, exactly a month, whereby actually we'll know, you know, what the council wants to do with regard to the developer moving the goalposts, which we knew they were doing, but the council, again, this is another thing, the council would never tell us what where the goalposts had moved to. So that's certainly a big thing. Hutton Community Centre, as I've just mentioned, which is in my ward, you know, a worthy initiative that Louise McKinney announced back in February, but unfortunately she forgot that she'd need the money to carry it through. So we've now got a £500,000 project with £150,000 of the funding. So, you know, that is something that we need to address very much, either in terms of finding the funding from somewhere, or being honest with residents that, look, this was a headline grab in February, which I believe it was. We can't fulfil it, but we need to be honest with people. You know, and the whole transparency thing as well, you know, as I've just alluded to, you know, more and more meetings now are very thin on agenda, but very bulky when it comes to closing the doors at the end of the meeting and doing everything in private. That absolutely has to stop. You know, the Conservative Party, you know, that I used to know and love locally, was very much about openness and transparency and scrutiny, and Eric Pickles talks about sunlight being the best disinfectant, armchair auditors and so on. In Brentwood, that's rubbish. It doesn't happen, and it's your money. So in terms of what I'm fighting for, it's that sort of thing. It's honesty on Crossrail, for instance, in Shenfield, where we've got this situation where the council don't even seem to know what's going on, let alone actually make provision for parking and the Shenfield traders and so on. So, you know, it's lots of things. You know, making sure, for instance, that the council stops just making good officers redundant, which they're doing on a weekly basis, and then replacing them with consultants that cost £500 a day, that have no knowledge locally, no passion for the town, and actually cost more money. So there's a lot of things that the opposition are doing that's certainly in my postbag in the run-up to May's elections.
I'm mystified, and I've known you a while, Russell, why you are so passionate. But when did you fall out of love with the Tories? Because you were a passionate Tory.
I still am. I mean, honestly, I'm a conservative to the core. You know, free markets, transparency, you know, freedom of speech, liberty, that's me. Unfortunately, local conservatives don't actually believe in that. They don't believe in transparency. They believe in the opposite. They don't believe in free speech. They believe in the opposite. And it's not just me saying that. It's demonstrated by what the Conservatives locally do in the council chamber every week, whether it's stopping backbenchers speak at committee meetings, the mayor last week stopping a speak because it was getting a bit late, even though it's her agenda and so on. So,
all right. If you'd had the opportunity to be leader, would you be leader of the Tories in Brentwood?
No, absolutely not. It was never my ambition. I never wanted to challenge for the leadership when Louise McKinley became leader. If I wanted to, I would have done. I had a number of people asking me to go for it. But, you know, as you know, I've got a young family. I've got a growing business. It's just not on my radar at all. And actually, when William, Phil, Nigel and I made the move to Brentwood first, you know, surely that should have been a message to everybody that if we had any political ambition, it went out the window when we made the decision to form Brentwood
well,
first.
Well, absolutely.
So I don't want to be leader of Brentwood Council. Absolutely
so
not.
So that's been going since since February you started that, wasn't it?
Yeah, January, February.
All right, how's it going? We're May the 4th is, or whenever, in May the elections.
Let me give you an example of how it's going. We're growing in number to the extent that we had this big planning meeting last night, which was, to me, a real success. You know, we had three or four quite controversial planning decisions last night, not least 15 to 17 South Weald Road, which Nigel Clark led the campaign on to have turned down for what was actually an attempt to build four properties in the back garden of the houses at 15 to 17 South Weald
Road. Are you talking about four private houses?
Four houses in the back garden. It's garden grabbing. And he was absolutely right, and he spoke very, very well to say, look, we can't do this. And so actually I think it was unanimous in the end last night. But as I walked into the council chamber, you know, a lady came up to me to introduce herself, and we were talking about Brentwood Rugby Club because they were on the agenda as well. And it turns out, 5 minutes into the conversation, that she's a Brentwood First member. And I have to say, I'd never met her. And I suddenly realised, although I'd like to meet every single member, we're now getting to the size in Brentwood that unfortunately not all councillors know all the members are. So, you know, I take a positive from that, that, you know, it's... You know, notwithstanding what's happened on the front here, and, you know, whether it's Ken Livingstone and his Nazi concentration camp jibe or Boris Johnson about Liverpool or whatever, we all make mistakes, and I've certainly made a mistake here. So notwithstanding that, Brentwood First, I think, is now being seen as an alternative to mainstream politicians, particularly if you like a councillor that stands up for you and actually is a bit perhaps outspoken here and there.
Do you think this has done you any harm come next year? People forget this, or will they... If they see your name on a ballot paper, they'll know who you are.
Well, they do, but I'm not up for election next year. So, you know, maybe, maybe not. You know, if I'm honest, and I've not said this publicly, you know, whether I stand in 2015 again is very questionable. You know, I've got a business that's going places, and, you know, my poor wife and kids sit at home and sort of probably don't see me most of the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, will I stand again in 2015? I don't know. You know, who knows? So, you know, I'm not bothered about me, if you like. So, you know, does it have an effect on Brentwood First? I certainly hope not. Does it have an effect on the council? I certainly hope not. What I hope is a positive here is that underneath all this is that some people in the council care, and they care enough to put themselves on the line and perhaps sometimes say things that they shouldn't in their passion.
Russell, I admire your honesty. I admire your the apology that you've made live on here today. Thank you very much coming in today. And as I know, you'll come in from time to time. Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.